Career Future provides career and employment perspectives for anyone interested in learning how others have navigated their vocational choices. Listeners will pick up tips about creating meaning in their lives, building experience, developing a professional network, and managing their own careers to have a positive impact. Featuring lively discussions and special guests, we'll discuss unique career journeys and offer valuable insights into thinking about your future. It's never too soon to begin planning your career path, and it's never too late to make a change. Join us and learn how to take distress and anxiety out of career planning. We all know how important and life-changing it is to choose a career, but not everyone talks about how flexible, exciting, and scary the journey may be. Join career counselor Anne Scholl Fiedler and current student Suzanne Martin as we dive into some of the myths and truths about career success, developing networks, and positively impacting our vocational perspective. And now, here's this episode's conversation with Anne and Susan.
Hi, I'm Susan Martin. Welcome to our podcast. Over the course of this series, we're going to be covering a lot of ground and try to take some of the mystery out of choosing a major and career direction. Career journeys are so different for many of us, and we know that most of them are not linear, and there are so many options. We are going to be engaging in conversations with people from diverse industries throughout the series. But to kick it off, we are going to be talking to Anne Scholl Fiedler, who works as a career counselor at FCC. She's been working with individuals and groups on navigating career choices, career entry, and transitions. She knows that careers aren't linear. So Anne, tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get started in your career?
Well, that's a good question. And I think it's really pertinent to the podcast series that we're going to be engaging in. Because I know for myself, when I started out, I initially thought that I was going to be a nursing major. Because my sister was a nurse, and I thought that was going to be a good idea. I got to college. I was taking some classes, and the chemistry was so challenging for me, in spite of the fact that I had gotten tutoring. So I started to second-guess that. And I think one of the things that happened that really sealed the deal was going to an emergency room when my mother was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing them taking fluid off of her knee. And I think I almost passed out. So I was like, this is probably not a good career choice for me.
Yeah.
So I just decided I was going to take some classes and figure out what I liked. And I was in one particular class of developmental psychology with a professor. He was great. And I thought, I'm going to pick psychology. And I did that. And then I graduated. But I didn't have a direction. I didn't really know where I was going. So I had applied for different kinds of jobs. I finally landed something through a friend of mine, through networking, which I strongly recommend. And it was as an admissions counselor for a small private junior college outside of Philadelphia. And the students that were going there were going for very specific majors, but as I talked with them more in depth, it was clear that some of them weren't sure why they were picking that major. And I thought to myself, self, there's something here that there's so many people that are just sort of picking things because it's what seems like it might be a good idea.
Yeah.
But really not knowing why. So that's how I actually got into the field. I thought if I can help people figure out, you know, more about who they are at their very best and make choices based upon that, then I would feel like I was really contributing, you know, to society.
Yeah, and that's important. Mm-hmm. Like you want to feel like you're doing something that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Just working.
Absolutely. Yeah. How about yourself? I mean, I'm curious about you, Susan.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
Because you're a non-traditional student here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little scary coming back after so many years. But growing up, I always wanted to be an architect. Like I had the idea that very early on, like probably 11 or 12, that architecture is what I wanted to do. And I had planned on going to North Carolina State to the design school. I'd even picked out my dorm. I had my career path set. And in high school, I had some health issues and things kind of got a little hard for me. I applied for the design school, but because my junior year was so rough and I didn't have all my credits, my decision was delayed and it just took me a long time. I left that school, I went to another one, and getting my credits in to the school ended up taking too long and I didn't get in. So after I graduated, I decided to go to community college because I hadn't applied anywhere else. I was everything was so hard. It was just going to be easier to stay home for a year or two. And I sort of lost direction. I took some classes. I fell in love with the photography school there, and I took some journalism, and that seemed like it was going to be fun, but it just, I just wasn't driven for it like I thought I would be. And my health conditions, it kept exacerbating until I just couldn't keep up with the classes, and my dad lost his insurance, and me and my fiance decided to go ahead and get married so I could be on his insurance. And things just sort of fell into place. I took some part-time jobs while I wasn't feeling well. One of them sort of lasted a long time. They would call me in on high capacity times, and if I was feeling good, I could come in and work for a couple weeks, and then I'd have time off. And over the years, I started to build up relationships around the different departments, and I worked my way until I was working all year, like part-time. And then one of the people that I worked with recognized my ability to like grasp tech stuff. And I ended up in a position where I was working in, it's called an audit control. So I monitored the jobs as they were coming in, checked the paperwork, filed them in our systems. I filed the postage payments with the USPS using the barcode scanner and stuff. It took a little bit of more tech savvy, so I was able to like work out some issues there and sort of networked. And then I started feeling like I wanted to move up, and I took a job in leadership, but that really wasn't me. Like, management was never going to be my thing. But that allowed me to meet more people, and eventually I was able to get a job in project management. So I worked as a coordinator for a few years and worked with people there, and I really enjoyed like the logistics aspect, but it was still sort of missing something. I was driven to do something more to make my impact. And, you know, music had been something I'd always been passionate about, but it never felt like it could be a career.
I think a lot of people think that sometimes, like, right? It's like, it's what I do for my hobby.
I can do that. I can enjoy it, but then I don't have to be, you know, I don't see how I can make money on it. And, you know, the things happen, the pandemic, for one, I got burnt out in doing work for a company that wasn't necessarily having my interest. And then they let us all go. And, like, they let go half of my team. And it, in a lot of ways, it was a blessing. I spent a few months trying to figure out how I was going to get a job in, you know, with my resume, because I didn't have a college degree. A lot of times I would, no matter how good my resume was, nobody was going to look at it until it went through a bot. And since 500 people were applying, my lack of education just kicked it right out. So I talked to my husband and we decided, you know, maybe it was now was the time to go back to school. And I've eyed the program here for audio production for several years, like, I was watching it, like, maybe one day I'll go back. So now was the time. That's when I decided to go ahead and you know, see what comes of it. At the very least, I got a degree. And, you know, I can find a way in. I can either take gig jobs or I can find a position with my, my resume built up. And having the degree and making the connections here at school, too.
Well, you know what? A couple of things, you know, listening to you talk, Susan, it's just really interesting. You know, you have managed to seize this opportunity like a lot of people have,
yeah,
you know, with the pandemic, and that is taking a look at your life and seeing how you might want to change it,
yeah,
right? So that it employs all of your strengths and interests. You know, uh-huh. You've been talking about, you know, the technology piece. You've been talking about logistics. Mm-hmm. You've been talking about music, that creative side. And it seems to me that, you know, you've been able to combine all that through your choice of what you're doing now, you know, yeah. Enrolling in the audio production program.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Yeah, like, and working on this podcast series.
I know. It was a perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, it gives me something, you know, a creative outlet to work on.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that is a real strength of yours is your ability to, you know, seize opportunities mm-hmm. and your network.
Yes.
You've talked about your network a couple different times.
Yeah, networking's so important. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of, even working in the same company, like, if I hadn't made relationships with the people I had, I might not have made, you know, the moved up through the company. Because mm-hmm. I applied for some of the positions I took several times before I got them. But it was once the people in the company knew me, they're like, oh yeah, Susan's really strong in this. She'll be a good choice. Mm-hmm. It was that relationship that we built. And even one time, you know, somebody came to me for a position, said, we think you'll be good for this, apply for it. Mm-hmm. Had they not known me, I probably wouldn't have gotten that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that too. I mean, I think the same thing in my life. You know, it is, like I said before, you know, that first job out of college, I got through networking.
Exactly.
And, you know, and as I moved through my positions, you know, people would see strengths that I have and suggest things, you know, that I might want to take a look at.
Yeah, sometimes you don't recognize your own strengths.
Right, right. I think the interesting thing, though, to think about, you know, with regard to strengths is, you know, making sure that we're tapping into those strengths that we really like using.
Yes.
You know, because you brought up an interesting point, and that is you talked about they were going to tap you for management.
Uh-huh.
And so they saw your leadership
Yeah.
capacity. And I think in a lot of situations, that's what happens. Like, ooh, leadership. That person has leadership. So uh-huh. let's put them into management, which can be two totally different things. Mm-hmm. So I would agree with that. I think, you know, tapping into those strengths that you have that you're most motivated to use, that you really enjoy, is really important.
Yeah, because you can quickly become burnt out if mm-hmm. it's not something that engages that part of you that's driven to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was me. Like, I got very quickly frustrated with the minutia of management and mm-hmm. Dealing with the bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. I was like, this mm-hmm. is just not me. I can't do this.
And, yeah.
But I did well. Like, everybody said I was doing a really good job.
Exactly. You did do it well.
I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. After a while, it didn't help that I was doing it overnight shift too. And that kind of separated me from the rest of the world.
Yeah. See, and I think that's the thing, you know, when we think about, you know, careers and they're linear. They're not.
Mm-mm.
You know, it doesn't mean you start one place and you have to take all these steps to end up this other place.
Yeah.
Some are, but I think for the majority of us, we kind of move around and we figure out, you know, what's going to be the best place for us next, you know, based upon what we're interested in, what strengths we're motivated to use, the things that are important to us.
Exactly.
Right? Those things are really important.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what made me decide on architecture such an early age other mm-hmm. than, you know, I was good at art and being creative, and I really liked the analytical and the mathematical side, and it felt like a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I was 15 or so, my dad got me an opportunity over the summer to do a local architecture firm. And I actually was surprised at how much, like, little actual creativity went into the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ended up spending half of the week just reading building codes. And I was like, I want to do more drawing, but it was like, you have to still do those little things, and
right,
like maybe that wouldn't have been the best choice for me, but also I kind of loved it because I kind of like that, you know, digging into the code and the
right.
figuring things out and solving the problems. So, but I, you never know until you get there if it's really going to be something you want to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea of it isn't always the same as the reality.
Exactly. You know, and you bring up a good point. I'm just curious about this too.
Yeah.
You know, because you're talking about when you were young and the things, you know, that may have influenced you. But where did you get your inspiration? What inspired you as a kid?
You know, for me, I loved being creative in the arts and music, and you know, just being able to have something, starting out with nothing, and then in the end you have something and said, look, I made this.
Mm.
That was just, mm-hmm. even if nobody else enjoyed it, I made this, I enjoyed it, I left something behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always one of the things I wanted. I had that very strong drive to create and do.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything in your childhood that inspired you?
yes, but before we go on with that,
yes.
You know, it's interesting though. I also see you as a builder, right? So using that creativity, also a builder. So I just wanted to.
That's true.
Yes, I mean, for me as a kid, I think I always wanted to. I was sort of like, you know, the person that would bring everybody together,
uh-huh.
right? The person that would bring other people together and making sure people were doing what they wanted to do. You know, I too, you know, had a creative slant to
yeah.
me too. So, you know, in my work, I have the opportunity to be creative. In listening to people's stories,
oh yeah,
I'm able to see creative ways that they might look at their lives differently.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Or paths that they might take that perhaps they had never thought about.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of, that one point we wanted to bring up later was like the impact.
Mm.
Like what kind of impact did you want to have? For me, you know, it was always, I wanted to create something and get it out there. Even if only three people saw it, I just wanted to do it and, you know that I left something
mm-hmm.
behind.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything... What kind of impact do you want to have?
Yeah, so I will say this, you know, and I was really influenced by my mentor out in Seattle. And that was Dr. Bernard Haldane. And he was very influential in the whole career development movement. And his idea was, number one, there is excellence in every person. And B, that through his process of what we call dependable strengths, he wanted to create more people that were happy in terms of what they were doing. And even before I had met him, I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had seen, you know, I lived in Philadelphia for a long time and I commuted downtown Philly. And, you know, I'd see people going to their jobs and so many people look miserable,
yeah.
you know, and in situations, work situations, it just didn't seem that people were really happy. And I was always just like, if we could get more people, you know, focused on things that they really love doing, that could have such an impact, not only on themselves, but also in their workplaces, in the community, and personally, I think, as a world as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, if people were working more in their areas of strength that they were motivated to use, then they would feel more satisfied. They would have more satisfaction in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they would be more motivated, right? And I also think that when people work together in that way, in terms of working together with their strengths, it really does create more partnership, okay, rather than create conflict.
Yes.
Right? And sometimes jealousy.
Uh-huh.
Right? So when people, again, when they're working in those areas, they feel better about themselves.
Yeah, it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I know I feel more satisfied in the last year and a half than I have mm-hmm. for the 20 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was some satisfaction in, you know, being good at a job and, you know, working my way up. And I could have been happy with just, you know, going about my 9-to-5 and having the relationships that I made. But it still felt like there was something missing. Like, yeah. I wasn't really satisfied.
And yeah.
I was always going to dream of something bigger and mm-hmm. better. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just so much happier now, even if I'm not, even I have no idea what I'm going to do in the next couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so wide open and it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, I'm happy.
Right. Right. And so sometimes when, I guess, when situations come up that can be perceived as devastating in some ways, I mean, losing a job that you've been at for a long time, it yeah. also presents an opportunity to reinvent.
Yeah, it really does.
To reinvent the circumstances in which you're using your strengths.
Exactly,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's still the same strengths and the mm-hmm. same skills that I built up over all these years,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to put them towards a different path and mm-hmm. hopefully one that I have a little more satisfaction with.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that brings us up back to the point of intrinsic meaning in your work.
Mm.
What is the intrinsic meaning? Like, what does it mean to do a job and to do it well and have a career?
Well, you know, when we talk about intrinsic meaning, I think sometimes that kind of circles back to the issue of, you know, what's important to you? What are your values?
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, for me personally, it really is lending support,
yeah,
you know, to other people, to helping them feel the best that they can feel. And I think the other thing for me, I mean, there's other aspects of my own career. I have the ability to build.
Yeah.
I've always had the ability to build and create programs throughout my career. And that gives me great satisfaction.
Yeah.
To look at a situation and see how can we build something. Or if something is already in place, how can we improve it?
Yes.
So that it will benefit others.
Yeah.
Right. So so that part is really, I think, very important to me as well.
Yeah, I think that's important to everybody, just to have to build something, like to have that community. For me, I've always wanted my work to mean something that. Meaning maybe not sort of nebulous, like can't quite put a finger on it, but just, you know, putting ink on paper and sending people bills didn't feel very meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like at the end of the uh-huh. day, well, whose life did I improve because they got their electric bill?
Uh-huh.
Nobody's. But, you know, with being able to be in the creative inside of me, that I feel like I could have a deeper impact because people are so moved by music and art and
mm-hmm.
and podcasts.
Mm.
Like, it's becoming a way a lot of people get their news and how they learn about new cultures
mm-hmm.
and or even just in it be entertained. There's just so many ways to impact other people's lives, and I've always had that strive to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just not sure, you know, I just fell into a way of impacting them. In a way that I didn't really want to.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, yeah, it feels good for me to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this piece of self-reflection, you know, thinking about the impact that we want to have and intrinsic meaning is an important reflection piece.
Yeah.
To really pause for a second. Well, longer than a second, but to pause and to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
and not just look at things at face value. Because I think oftentimes the other thing is that all kinds of people will give you advice.
Yes.
Regarding your career. Because they see your strengths.
Yeah.
Outwardly. But only you know the strengths that you're most motivated to use. Yeah. So I tell people, it's important that you get across in your workplace, and also when you're thinking about even choosing a major, that you're clear on that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could head down a road where maybe it's not exactly giving you the fulfillment that you wanted.
That's a good point.
And we talk about these things, these, you know, the difference between a motivated skill and an unmotivated skill. I mean, a motivated skill is one that we're energized when we use it, right? It's, yeah. It's equivalent to when people are when they say they're working in flow.
Exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Whereas the unmotivated skills, they're things that we do, but we don't necessarily like using it. And to your point earlier,
yeah,
you were talking about, you know, then being burned out, right?
Yes.
And they do. Unmotivated skills over the long term, they cause burnout.
They cause, and sometimes,
stress, and sometimes even health problems,
yeah.
You know, so it's, I think that's a really important point too.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's so hard to just keep going
mm-hmm.
when I reached that point of,
mm-hmm.
With everything that was going on, the year 2020 was just so crazy.
And it was.
All of my external motivating factors were gone.
Uh-huh.
You know, I could no longer go to music, you know, concerts.
Right,
or
right.
I could no longer see my friends.
Mm-hmm.
All I had was work, and it was getting mm-hmm. more and more stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing it, but I wasn't happy, and it was just getting to that point where I just couldn't make myself. I'd wake up, turn on my laptop, and stare at it for an hour before I could
mm-hmm.
even do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, that's just such a discouraging place to be. And I think had I felt more fulfilled in what I was doing, even that stress wouldn't have been quite so hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
but you tapped into that.
Yeah.
You then tapped into it. You took that step back, and you tapped into it, and you're feeling good.
Yeah.
So, you know, what advice do you have, okay, for people that might be thinking about, you know, making a change, or even for, you know, students who are just starting out? What advice do you have?
You know, I just don't, you want to think about it, but don't think too hard. Just if you're driven to do it and you have the means to do it, you know, don't sit around and think about it and dream about it, you know, work towards it. And you know, you may not end up where you think you're going to go, but
mm-hmm.
if you don't try, you're going to mm-hmm. regret it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't regret the opportunities that you take. You regret the ones you don't take.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
Great point.
If I could change anything, I would have liked to have pushed myself harder when I was younger to go back and when I was in a better place
mm-hmm.
and do something. Like, I would sign up for classes and then not go because it just seemed like too much work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but if I had pushed myself a little harder, maybe I could have, you know, shifted a little sooner. But who knows? I may not be the same person I was. I mean, I'd have built those skills the same
mm-hmm.
way. So, you know, push yourself, but don't think too hard about it. If it doesn't work out, let it go and don't sit there and regret everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's great
yeah.
advice.
So do you have any advice? Is there anything
I think, you know, along those lines, I mean, you really hit a nerve for me too, because there was a point in my career, again, when I was working in Philadelphia, and I had an opportunity to move out to Seattle for
yeah.
a position, a very, very, very different environment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, both in terms of living and then also working.
Yeah.
And I really didn't know anybody out there, but I thought to myself, okay, am I going to later on down the road, if I don't take this opportunity, am I going to regret it?
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, you probably will.
Yeah.
So I went and I took the risk. And so I think that's a piece of advice that I would say is, you know, in addition to assessing, you know, who you are in terms of interest, strengths, and things that are important to you, but also assess your level of risk.
Exactly.
You know, and the amount of risk that you're willing to take.
Yeah.
And think about, you know, what might happen if you pursue it and what might not happen if you don't pursue it.
Exactly. Like, you don't want to put yourself in a position that you can't, you know, meet your own needs. But if everything else is the same and you can go out and try and you may fail and you may not be as successful as you thought you were going to be, mm-hmm. or you can stay and keep doing what you're doing and, you know, have that gear, like, already established success, take the opportunity. Don't sit around and, you know, stability is great, but, you know, you don't achieve greatness if you don't push yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think along those same lines, it's don't just get hung up on one thing.
Yes.
Right? So have a backup plan. And realize that things are always changing.
Yeah.
We change as human beings, our environment changes, and the economy changes. So we've just got to realize that and realize that we have to be adaptable, flexible.
Uh-huh.
And if we are really clear about who we are, we can navigate those changes.
Yes. Yeah, I think that was my biggest. I was so hung up. I was gonna do this in school, and I was gonna go to this school, and I didn't have any other plans.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, once it fell apart, it was just whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, if I could have gone back and told my 12-year-old self, maybe consider what you're gonna do if you don't get into this school, or if you don't, you know, you don't finish school the way you thought you were going to finish. What are you going to do after? Like, what else are you going to do? Like, I may have thought a little harder. I don't know. I may not have.
Yeah.
I was a pretty stubborn child.
Well, I have no doubt that you are going to, you know, find your groove, you know, and you're already thinking about some of the things that you want to do, mm-hmm. and how you want to take this experience,
yes.
that you're acquiring now,
mm-hmm.
and use it,
yes.
to have that impact that you want to have.
Absolutely.
And to fulfill your own personal meaning.
Exactly. And, you know, who knows what I'll do in the future, but hopefully you'll hear of me.
That's right.
In some way.
That's right.
Even if it's just through this podcast or another podcast like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Susan, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
It's been awesome. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
I did too. Thank you so much, Anne.
Yeah. And so keep listening to our conversations as we move forward.
Yeah. I look forward to hearing, you know, who's next.
I know. All right. Well, have an awesome day.
You too. Thank you.
Hope this episode has served as inspiration for you and will help you make wise decisions involving your professional career. We appreciate your continued support. If you have any questions or topic suggestions, feel free to leave them in a comment section, and don't forget to visit the FCC website for great career info and counseling.